Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. It's not easy to tell just what might motivate a person to obey the gospel. Those of us who preach the gospel, and I've been trying to do it for over 60, nearly 70 years, oh, how we wish we could know just exactly what we could say and what we could do that would encourage and motivate people more than we do to obey the gospel. Sometimes a certain teaching, a same illustration, some biblical account that might come in a crucial moment in a person's life, it might lead him to think about his soul, about his salvation, about Christ and how Christ is offered to save. I recall so many years ago, I baptized a man after preaching the lesson that I want to bring to you today and tomorrow. And as we were coming out of the waters of the baptism, he told me that what had been preached had motivated him to obey the gospel. Well, that's what I had preached that day, was the story of Naaman and his healing. And this man said that that account in the Old Testament did more to help him to understand the relationship between salvation and obedience than any other lesson he had ever heard. And then he gave me this advice, said, you ought to preach that lesson more often. Well, I have preached it many, many times, and possibly it has motivated some like it did that man. Many times it certainly did not. But possibly what influenced him could influence another. This Old Testament account certainly does shed the light of truth on some very basic and fundamental matters in being saved. In our Bible, in 2 Kings chapter 5, we read about this man Naaman. The scripture says, Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, and he was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man doth sin unto me, to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a servant unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came in and spake to him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith unto thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according as the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now Naaman was a Gentile. He was the captain of the Syrian army. He was a very important man in Syria. At least he was considered great in the eyes of the king and in the eyes of the nation. But there was a problem. He was a leper. Now there was this little maid, an Israelite. She had been taken captive by the Syrians, and this maid now waited on Naaman's wife. Now this little unnamed person told Naaman's wife that there was a prophet of God in Samaria that could heal her master. Now the healing of Naaman was eventually accomplished, was it not? But not near so easily as it could have been if Naaman had not made things so complicated and committed so many mistakes. And his mistakes, friend, are much the same kind of mistakes that people make today as they seek the spiritual healing from their sins. Remember now that the Apostle Paul had said that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, Romans 15:4. So we can learn from this account. Naaman's first mistake was that he went to the wrong person. Now Naaman was told to go to the prophet of God in Samaria, but he went to the king of Israel. And this upset the king of Israel, and he cried, Am I God? In other words, he is saying, What can I do about this leprosy? There was nothing that the king could do about that. He had no such power to heal. In fact, Israel's king considered the entire episode to be an excuse for the king of Syria to make an attack upon Israel. Well, there was the God's prophet Elisha. He heard how the king was upset, and he sent word for Naaman to come to him. Now, we're made to wonder why Naaman did not seek out the prophet at the first place. It possibly could have been his pride, for after all, Naaman was considered a great man. Should he go and search for a lowly prophet in Israel? He was a person of position. Why, he was a man of fame. And certainly pride keeps many people from coming to the right source for their salvation. They refuse to humble themselves before the lowly Nazarene. They want forgiveness, but they want it without repentance and confession, without giving up their sins. They wish to follow the doctrines and the creeds and the traditions and the opinions of man, the things that men have concocted rather than to simply submit to the will of the Lord. Their attitude is one that is, I want what I want, and they want it more than what God wants. Let us learn early, friend. There is only one to whom we can go for salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, Acts 4:12. Again, Jesus had said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, John 14:6. Jesus was the humble and lowly Nazarene. He was lowly from his birth all the way through to his death. But we must bow our will to his will, or we reject salvation. Peter once declared, Thou hast the words of eternal life. Friend, before there can be spiritual recovery and spiritual victory, there must be surrender to Jesus Christ without reservation. Rebellion or refusal to accept his instruction, the failure to follow his directions. It will simply mean our condemnation. Well, such as it was with Naaman, so it is with us. Naaman went to the wrong person. That was his first mistake. Now Naaman left the king's palace, and he went to the door of the humble home of Elisha, God's prophet. But there he made his second blunder. The scripture says he stood at the door. He expected to be healed right there. Just as the king was the wrong person, the door of Elisha's house was the wrong place. Elisha sent his servant Gehazi out to Naaman with instructions. He was to go and to dip himself in the Jordan River 7 times, and then he would be healed. He had to go to the right place, and in his case, the right place was the Jordan River. Well, this instruction upset Naaman greatly. It was indeed a strange direction, we have to admit. But who was he to decide what ought to be done? He complained, "Why, the rivers in Syria, Abana and Pharba, their rivers are better than the Jordan River. Why can't I wash in them and be clean?" You see, Naaman was making the mistake of thinking that the power of healing was in the water itself. But he wanted healing there at the door of Elisha's house. But the quality of the water was not what was going to make the difference. The river was not that in which he would, the river was simply that into which he was to dip. But the power of healing was going to be God, not the river. At first, Naaman failed to realize that the power of healing would be applied to him when he obeyed what he was commanded to do. And it may well have been true that the rivers of Syria were superior to Jordan, but that's not where God said for Naaman to go. Let me tell you where we must go to receive healing from our sins. It's like the song says, "I must needs go home by the way of the cross." Redemption for man, friend, is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Colossians 1 and verse 14. Again in Romans 5, 9, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Friend, Christ died on the cross. His blood is the power that cleanses. Jesus bore our sins on the cross, and we must behold the Christ on the cross. We must come to that cross, to his death, and reach his blood, or we cannot be saved. We must make our appeal for salvation through the provisions that Christ made at Calvary. This is God's way for redeeming man. Now, though some may be offended at the cross, you reject the idea of the Savior having to die, they may even be repulsed by the use of blood. Nonetheless, the penalty for my sins and for yours was paid at the cross, in his death. This is where we must go to be saved from our sins. Naaman made the mistake of going to the wrong person. He made the mistake of going to expecting to be saved at the wrong place. People make that same mistake today. And in our second lesson, we're going to see some other mistakes that Naaman made, mistakes that people still make today. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.